We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Happy Mother's Day! So I'm excited to be speaking today, and it's funny, there's a little like, does anyone not like bees? I know bees like pollinate and bees are good for the environment and they give us honey and all that, but I do not like them. And every time I would sit outside in our back deck to start working on this message, these bees out of nowhere would come and fly around my face. And then, you know, like on an umbrella stand, they've got those little tiny holes where the screw goes in. Well, I researched it and apparently bees go in little holes like that and they lay their babies. So there are bees laying babies in the umbrella stand while I'm trying to write this message. And so it literally got me to the point where I had to move to the other side of the deck and sit on this really uncomfortable chair with a fire pit table and my computer on it and my feet up. And I'm like, this is crazy that these bees are getting to me. And we're trying to teach our girls not to be afraid of them. So it's really hard when we're having dinner or lunch outside. And the bees start swarming around my face because I have to be really brave. I'm like, girls, there's nothing to be afraid of. It's fine. It's fine. But I'm not moving. I'm literally like this. And then they're like watching me and like, can we go inside? I'm like, yes. So all that to say, bees got in my way, but I didn't let them take over. So I love the story of Hannah in the Bible. To give everyone a backstory, Hannah was married to a man named Elkanah, and they were married for 10 years. Hannah could not have children, and back in that culture and time, if you couldn't have kids, it was detrimental. It was devastating because kids helped with the farming, and kids helped with work, and it made you a better-looking person if you have kids. So he ended up marrying another woman named Peninnah, and Peninnah could have kids. So this, she would taunt Hannah constantly over the fact that she could not have kids. And she did it out of jealousy because Peninnah was jealous that Elkanah loved Hannah because they were together for so long. He needed Peninnah to have children. So she was very jealous of Hannah. So can you imagine not being able to have kids and then this other woman comes along and has all these kids and taunts you day in and day out. So Hannah could have, I mean, for me, that would have probably driven me right to like a serious depression and not want to talk to anyone ever again. But this did not happen to Hannah. So today I'm going to talk to you about the things that Hannah can teach us when it comes to life's trials, its unfair moments, dealing with really mean people, and ushering into your breakthrough. So we're going to talk about being overwhelmed but not overcome. The first thing I believe, so we're going to pretend like Hannah's up here. It would have been cool to just do voices or have somebody, but we didn't do that. So the first thing I believe that she would say to us is to be secure in your skin. In 1 Samuel 1:7-8, it says, year after year it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. So we may not be able to control what other people say to us, say about us or to us or behind our backs. But we do have control about how we react. Because if we're comfortable and secure in who we are, we're not going to overreact to what the haters are saying. We're not going to play into the hand of the instigator because we know that what they're saying is not true and we're going to keep moving on. Hannah showed so much restraint because she never engaged in the painful words that came out of Peninnah's mouth. They cut like a knife. They made her feel she could have been bitter and angry. She had every right to. However, have you ever been in a situation like that where somebody was constantly talking about you and saying these horrible things? And you're just like, you know, sometimes when you're in a fight with somebody, sometimes there's a little bit of truth and then sometimes there's not. So I was a victim years ago of gossip. And when I'm telling you I didn't do anything wrong, I'm being 100% honest. This one time, I did nothing wrong. This person just attacked my character, and it rocked me because constantly saying these things behind my back, and I would hear it from other people. And some of my closest, who I thought were my closest friends, actually turned against me. This person got them to change their perception of me, and then they no longer were my friends. They were my enemies. And I'm like, what did I ever do to you? Because one person was jealous and didn't like me. She got all these other people to not like me as well. And it was a really hard time in my life, and it went on for a long time, and I let it affect me. I mean, honestly, it was years of just this torment in my mind before I fully 100%, you know, I forgave this person, and I thought I had moved on, but realized that even though I forgave, in my head, I wouldn't let myself forget it. So then I would keep replaying it in my head. Then I would start getting angry with this person. And then I realized, okay, so I need to 100%, I have not fully given this to God. So God, take this, because it was keeping me from where he wanted me to be by sucking out my security. I was insecure. I didn't want to do a lot of things because this person would say stuff, you know? So I wasn't as strong as Hannah at first. But Hannah was so strong because despite everything that was said to her, she never lashed out at Penina. She walked away and took it to God. So how hard is it to walk away if somebody is right there taunting you in your face? Like, you're going to want to, like, get back at them. But she didn't. She just walked away. Hannah knew God was good and just, and she had her trust in him. So when we put God in control of our circumstances, we don't have to worry about what they're saying. They can say whatever they want, and if our character is true, it doesn't matter what they say. God's going to cover that. He gets the final say in any situation. So you need to leave it to God, give it to God, and move on. And don't allow it to take over what somebody is jealous of or somebody is saying about you, to let it ruin your life and your calling. The next thing I believe she would say is that only God can complete you. So Hannah's husband, Elkanah, couldn't fully comfort her or fill the void from her being barren. It says in verse 8, "Why are you crying, Hannah?" Elkanah would ask. "Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? Now, that probably wasn't the best thing that could he have told to his wife, who is being taunted for not being able to have children. But isn't that like a man to say, "You got me. What's better?" He could have told her, "I love you. Don't let her get to you. I'm here for you." Something like that. But no, he said, "You got me." But what you have to remember is that Elkanah really did love Hannah. So even though that sounded not so nice, he really said it in love because it's the only way he knew how to say it. Like, I know there's times with Chad when it came to speaking today and, like, getting a little nervous, and I'm like, "I just need you to say this, this, and this. Don't say this, this, and this." Like, I didn't even want to hear, like, "You're going to do great." I'm like, "No, I literally need you to say this. So say this to me, and then I'll be okay." And he did, and he's great. So no matter how much Hannah's husband loved her, it didn't take that pain away, because that kind of pain can only be taken and healed with God's love. Allowing him into your deepest hurts and letting him heal you from the inside out. You know, I've got a lot of hurts in my life. My stepfather passed away at an early age from cancer. My best friend died unexpectedly in her 20s. And then the more recent was Chad and I went through 2 miscarriages in 10 months. And Chad and I allowed ourselves time to grieve, because you need to be able to grieve. And that's okay. You just can't stay there. And so we gave our babies names, and we talk about them when we need to. But I don't blame God. I love God, and I know God loves me, and God's good, so I don't blame him. So we reached out to God in that incredibly dark time and allowed him, you know, I mean, I ugly cried and told God how I felt, and that's okay, because he understands, you know, and we can find comfort in ourselves, in each other, but I can't heal Chad's hurts, and he can't heal mine. We both have to go to God together, and individually, we have to seek him out to heal what happened to us. But you know what? God gave me and Chad that peace that surpasses all understanding. Like it says in Philippians 4:7, this peace that came over that, "God, you're good, and I know my babies are okay, and I know that they're with you in heaven." And you know, my stepfather passed away right 5 months after Riley was born. So in my head, I'm like, well, you know what? Now he's got 2 babies up there to see, because he didn't have the baby that he wanted to be around down here. So I still get sad, of course. And so does Chad, wondering, you know, what it would have been like. But it doesn't make me upset. because God has filled that with his love. And my parents can't complete me, Chad can't, and neither can my kids. Our kids are everything to us, but even that can't fully complete you without God. The next thing Hannah would say to us is to pray fiercely, to worship and pray with all that you have. I love to worship. Worship is my favorite thing, and I love that, you know, with worship, it's like the words are there. Like, you can put on a song of whatever you're feeling, and somebody has already got the words for you. You're just singing it to Jesus. That makes it easier sometimes when you're not fully sure, you know, which way to go. So just pour your heart out to God. Worship him even if you can't sing. Still worship him because he wants to hear you. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear your praise and your love. So don't hold back because of that. Praying fiercely. It says in verse 10, Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow: O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. Have you ever felt that desperate? Like I was saying before about the ugly crying out to God. Crazy, mascara running, whatever, men, whatever, in your beards. You know, when you're at your last straw and you realize the only way you're going to get through this situation is if you have God, is if God is in the center of that situation. So after a prayer like that, you need to leave it with God, choose to walk it out in faith. So pray fiercely, leave it with God, and walk it out in faith. So we're going to pray fiercely and pray exactly what that issue is, exactly the hurt or our kids or be here for this. You're going to pray so hard, ugly crying, and then you're going to walk over here and you're going to leave it with God. And you're not going to call your friend and be like, nothing happened. This is still happening. Oh, he's not healed. He's not this. He's not. No, you're going to leave it and then you're going to walk it out in faith. Believing what's going to come, not looking in the past, because after all, it's God who gives us our answer. In verse 12 through 18, it says, as she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. Must you come here drunk? He demanded. Throw away your wine. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I'm very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. In that case, Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back, began to eat, and she was no longer sad. So when you pray, allow it to stay with God and rejoice and be thankful for all that's going to come. She left there, went back to eat, knowing her promise is coming. Next, God's timing is best. God was prolonging Hannah's pregnancy for a purpose. He had a great purpose for her child in a season that he would be greatly used. So he couldn't come 10 years sooner or 10 years later. He had to come exactly at the right time for when he needed to be there. You know, you may be going through something where you made a job switch too soon or a move or you bought a house way too prematurely and realized, what am I going to do? I just bought this house. How am I going to pay for this? What am I going to do to get through this? Well, God can help us through it. However, there's going to be some bumps in the road if you don't wait for God's timing. Because he wanted you to go through it smoothly with every amount of the blessing that he had. But if you go too soon, you're going to hit some bumps that you wouldn't have hit if you let him work through you to get to your blessing. So it's like giving a kid a bike. He gets this bike, it's shiny, it's bright, there's tassels. If it's a girl, there's a basket, and she's excited she can put her dolls in it. There's a bell, and they get on the bike. And before you can stop them, they already start going, then bam, they fall over. Laying on the floor, or on the ground, scraped up, bleeding, crying, and wondering, why do they make bikes if not everybody can use them? So you see, some things look so good that we just jump right into it. Like, yes, this is God. This is God's name written all over it. But we don't seek the counsel or the advice that we need to make sure that that's actually what it is. So we need to find somebody who can think beyond the new bike without training wheels. Because if that child had asked for help, the grown-up would have told them, you need these training wheels to help you to get to a bike with no training wheels. This is your support, so you need to use this first. So if only they had went through that process, they wouldn't have scrapes all over their arms and questioning life about a bike. So just because God gives you a word or a dream or stirs a passion doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. There's things that I know God has shown me, but it's sitting on a shelf in the back of my head because I know it's not the right time. And if I go jump at it, then I'm going to probably fall on my face and be like, why weren't you there? Because it wasn't the right time for it to happen. Too many people think that because God said that that means go now. But it doesn't. It means that you need to pray about it, seek the advice that you need, and then go. And it does happen sometimes. People get it, and it's meant to be right now, and that's great. But that's not all the time. But Hannah went decades with no children. It took Peninnah tormenting her to drive her to pray that fierce prayer. So what are the things in your life that are mocking you, that are driving you to your knees, that is going to be the next step to get you through your breakthrough? You need to look at that bad thing, as what's going to be the next thing to push you. It's going to push you closer to God. Keep reaching out and praying to him. Going through these miscarriages that we had, it's like I've never prayed more in my life because I just didn't know what to do with my emotions and just getting through this moment. So everything you go through, don't always look at it as bad. It could really be what's going to bring you to the next level. But even with that, she didn't receive her baby the next day. It took a long time before she got it. But she had to keep waiting it out and knowing that God's timing is better than her own. Number five, what I believe she would tell us is to keep your promise to God. So you really need to be careful what you promise. Will you be able to follow through with it? You know, when I was younger, I kind of treated God like a genie. And so I would say, God, if you do this, then I won't do this. God, please just do this. Please just this one last thing. Let me go do this. Let my mom say yes so that I can go to my friend's house and go on vacation, blah, blah, blah. And if I got it, I didn't change. I just, the next time I needed something, I would ask again. And so there was a time when I was 16, I was in a really bad car accident. I broke two vertebrae, crushed and broke two vertebrae in my back, and I was paralyzed for 48 hours. And it freaked me out because at 16 years old, this happens to you. You can't move. You're in an ambulance, and you're like, I'm going to die. I'm going to die right now. So I'm literally laying in the ambulance, and I don't know. I think my parents were in the front seat. So it was just me and the other person that was in the car accident laying in the back. And I remember being in so much pain and just praying, like, God, let me live. God, please don't let me die. If you let me live, then I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z anymore. I promise. So I lived. The injuries that I had were not life-threatening. However, close to being paralyzed, still not life-threatening. I was in no way going to die. But I was 16 and scared and thought I did. So I didn't keep my promise. A few months later, I went back to doing X, Y, and Z, taking for granted that I could walk, even though I appreciate it. But you don't really think about that once you're healed. It's kind of like you just move on to the next. So I really needed to go back and it taught me to don't say what you don't want to do, you know. So it says in verse 26 and 27, it says, Sir, do you remember me? Hannah asked. I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I'm giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worship the Lord there. So in that moment, she worshiped and prayed, even though she was giving her child. And back then, it was 3 years before a child weaned. So she had that baby for 3 years, fully knowing that I'm going to give him to God to be raised by Eli, who is a high priest. And I can't imagine, I mean, if that was me, would I be able to keep that promise? Probably not. I don't know. Could you? That'd be very difficult. But she made this promise because God gave her, she promised, and she returned to him. God was preparing him from the beginning. He knew that her son was going to lead the people right back to living right with God. He knew her son was called for so much. It was all in his timing to be born. And it's good he wasn't born too soon and too late because it was that moment. And it's good that she kept to her promise, right? Because if she didn't, those people wouldn't have gone back to God. So like I said, it doesn't literally mean that we're going to give our kids away. We keep our children. But it means that showing them God's love, teaching them that God's house comes first before anything else, teaching them to pray and to love others as Jesus loves us. So if they're in school and someone's not nice, not to lash out at them, but to actually teach them how to love them in a moment. That, yeah, someone could be hurting you and being mean, but hey, maybe something's going on at home and that's why they're reacting that way. So why don't you look at it this way and try and still be nice to them anyway? Teaching them in tithing, stirring up passions and dreams in them. That video, the India video, which I love, oh, it makes me like, oh, cry all the time. I recently had a conversation with the girls at bed, and we had been praying for those children, and I said, girls, do you know what that would be like to be in the dark for those many hours? And they were kind of like, no. So I was like, okay. So we turned off their music, turned off the nightlight, closed the door. So I told them to sit there. Don't close your eyes. Just lay here for a few minutes and see what it feels like. So they got to feel what those kids were feeling for all the years that they had been feeling that. And it gave them a perception of something that they didn't see before. So I was stirring something in them. And then letting them know, like, these kids prayed for years and years, and because of all the amazing people at our church, we were able to give those kids light, that they have a nightlight now. How amazing. Like, I think it's so amazing. And so being able to show them how amazing everybody here is, you know, that we can give to people who don't live right next to us. You know, and by the time we were done talking, they were like, well, when can we go visit them? And I was like, well, maybe when you're a little older. And then Riley, who's 3 years older than Mackenzie, was like, oh, I have to wait till she's a teenager. So I said, well, let's just pray about it. Maybe we can send them a note or something. But they were just so excited. So just stir stuff inside of them. I showed them the video, too, so they can actually see the conditions that the kids live in and how, despite having nothing, seeing them worship in their chapel and seeing them so happy just to have light, to have electricity, that they don't need all the toys, that they're sufficient with God, you know? And so it's really neat for them. Our kids see the world around us. They see what we do, how we react. Are we talking about people behind their backs at home? Are we teaching them to talk about people behind their backs? Or are we talking about lifting them up and lifting up the people that may be driving us crazy, but maybe this is what they're going through. So we're going to lift them up. We're going to pray for people, even if people are mean to us. You know, it could also be like when you go to the grocery store. Does anybody get grocery cart rage in here? So if this is you, I still love you. But it drives me crazy when somebody stops their cart here, and there's carts everywhere because it's crazy busy, and they're all the way down here getting bread. And they're just looking like, you want this one, no? Okay. And you're just like, ah. So then there's other times when you finally get through, and then you get someone else whose cart is just like in the way, but they won't move it. So then you're like, excuse me, I just need to get that. Excuse me, can you, no? And then they don't move, and then you just want to, but you don't, because you show Jesus' love. I have never done that. But being short, it is really hard because if the carriage is there and they won't move, like I can't. The other day at the grocery store, they were putting their inventory out and I had to ask somebody. But rather than the person just like, sure, no problem, they're like, oh, I don't know. It's kind of too high for me. You know, and just like, I'm like, dude, not funny. Heard it enough times. Let's just give me what I need. He thought he was being funny and I still showed grace and laughed. But if you don't have kids, This can also pertain to people you work with, your non-church going friends, because they're all watching you too, because they know you go to church. So they want to see if you're going to act like everyone else or if you're actually going to show God's love to them. So you can show them, be the light in their darkness, which is what we teach our girls. Just be a light in your friend's darkness. You don't know what someone's going through. Let the people you work with know that you're praying for them, that you care enough to, you know, the fact that you care enough to tell them that is going to mean the world to them. Show them grace. If for some reason it's your time to go home after your shift, but this person's running 25 minutes late, don't attack them when they come in, because you don't know if they're in a car accident. You don't know if something happened to their kid or their family. And the way you react to them is going to change everything about them for their day. So Hannah did exactly what God told her, and it came out as something amazing. He led all these people to Jesus. She did visit him often because she was his kid. He was her kid, and she would bring him robes and all these things, so he never lacked a mother. He still had her. He was 100% dedicated to serving God his entire life, and he used him in so many other powerful ways. You know, God has a purpose for everyone in this room. Like, you're not a mistake. Like, even if you were not planned, God has planned you. So even though your parents may not, he planned you, and he knew you were going to come when you were going to come. So you just need to ask God, what is it that you want me to do? What are you calling me to? And be careful not to say, show me what you want me to do if you're not ready. Because if you do, and he's like, okay, I want you to do this, and you're like, well, wait a minute, I just wanted to lead worship, did not want to do this. And then he's like, ha, joke's on you, this is what you're going to do. So you need to be ready for whatever it is he's going to tell you. Because if you're not, what I've come to realize is that after you ask, he'll tell you. And then when you ask again, he'll tell you. And if you don't do it, he's not going to tell you anything else until you do what he told you to do. And I can speak from experience that that is true. So he's called you. Just be faithful and wait for your season to come. It may not be right now. You may be told you're going to have this amazing business and you're going to be able to bless all these people and this just whatever, something like that. But it doesn't mean for you to quit your job and go start a business if you have no idea what that business is. Because someone else is going to come along in your story and in your path, and they're going to teach you and tell you what it is that you're supposed to do. So we can all learn from Hannah and how not to let our circumstances overcome us. Because if she could get through everything that she got through, we can handle life's hard times too. Because God is so good, and he loves all of us just as much as everybody else. Nobody's better. He's here for you. So reach out to him and ask him, what do you want me to do? Let me know in your timing, but I'm ready, and serve until you get there. So I just want to take a minute to specifically talk to any moms in here or any women in here who can't have kids or have had miscarriages, but you're still struggling. Like, if it's taken over you where you just can't get out of your mind, you know, God's heart aches for you. And my heart aches for you too. I understand it's awful, but God's not mad at you, and you didn't do anything wrong. So you don't need to feel guilty, like, did I not eat the right thing? Did I not do the right thing? What did I do? You didn't do anything. But God wants to complete you, and God wants to take that void in your heart and fill it with his love. But you have to open up. Like I said, when it happened to me, I ugly cried. I got frustrated. I just said exactly how I feel. And then God worked in me, and he has shown me just that his love is stronger and that he is so good, that anything that we go through, God can get us through it. You're stronger than you know you are. You have a purpose, and you can be happy again. And I'm not saying this to get anybody sad. I'm saying it to encourage you that there is a light at the end of this dark tunnel. If you're still struggling, and it could have happened 5 years ago or longer, but you finally want to just let it out, I want to pray for you and the moms that can't. So if that's you right now, we're all just going to close our eyes. Right now, just be praying for whoever's around you. God, we just thank you for these people, these women. I pray right now for every broken heart in this room, God, that you would touch them, that you would begin to heal their hearts, Father, that you would be able to get to the very depths of their soul, that the aches would start to go away. It would just break away. Father, we pray that they wouldn't feel that guilt or that shame, that your love is sufficient, knowing that their babies are in heaven with you. What better place for them to be? I pray that you would just take away any anger, any bitterness that would be stored up inside, Father, that would allow you to work through them. And the same for the moms that can't have babies, God. I pray that you would put that same, fill that same void in their hearts, that whatever path opens up for them, Father, through adoption or other, God, that if that's in your timing and that's your season, Father, that those doors would open up for them. I pray for just life over all of those women, that they would see their dreams and their desires, Father, but that you're also good enough to fill any heartache, any void, Jesus. We love you so much. We thank you for all of these women and ask that you would just continue to bless them and work through them. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.